everybody, and welcome to another live episode of The Grid. My name's Scott Kelby, but that's not important because we've got CFG in the house. Cool Frenchy guy. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome all the way from Paris, France, Mr. Serge Ramelli.
Bonjour, Scott. How's it going?
How's it going, my friend?
Well, that's going pretty good, dude. What's up?
I'm very well. I'm always happy when I'm with you.
I love the way he goes in and out. Well, you know, you were just here a few. We had such a great episode when you were here. It was so much fun. And I got all kinds of emails and notes from people that how much they enjoyed your perspective. And they're going to enjoy it, I think, even as much today, at least if as much today.
I hope.
Serge, I hope I would. Yeah, we have a really good topic today. We've got a thing called When Is Too Much Too Much? Mm-hmm. And it's about post-processing. But we were having a discussion yesterday, and Serge was bringing up some points and some angles that I've not heard before. And so I think we're going to have a very interesting show. You know, obviously, we're both very much into post-processing. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to dig it. And we want to hear your comments, as always. Hey, look at that messy hair. I looked at my hat in the screen. I'm like, my hat looks stupid. But now, DJI. You like the way I look at the screen? I point to the wrong side?
Yeah.
Because the screen's backwards.
DJI.
There's the logo, DJI.
That's you like
right.
The drone?
Hey, you know what? My wife says it when I... So I got Ludwig here. So I have Ludwig as my shirt today, right? Paul Reed Smith as my work shirt. And I lost my chair. My wife says when I have this many logos on, I look like a NASCAR driver. She goes, you look like a NASCAR driver. I'm surprised you're not changing hats during the show. That's what I got to do next is change hats on the breaks. All right. Hi. I love that second camera. Anyway, we're going to have a great show today. You know why we're going to have a great show today? Because first, Serge is here. And all shows with Serge, I love having you on the show. You're so much fun, and you're
Thank you.
French. That's number one. Number two, everybody's here. Kathy Bateson is here. Look at that.
Yes.
She says, I managed to get on early tonight. Hope everyone is we. Does she really say, hope everyone is we? We're all small. Is that what she's saying? Does she mean well and wrote we, or does she just really mean we?
We.
Wee. Oh, hope everyone is yes. Cheeky Nando says, good afternoon / evening, everyone. Chicken wings for everyone. Cheeky Nando from Lisbon, Portugal. Loopy Bridget is here. She's back from the glorious coast of Maine and the Canadian Maritimes to this hell we call the Southeast. All right, Clinton Ferrari, good to see you. Clinton's here from Shelton, Washington. Rich is here from Edinburgh. Johan says, hello, Scott. Bonjour, Serge.
Bonjour.
Sorry, I kind of trashed that. Rose Karen's here up early in New Zealand. Doc is here. Hey, Doc. Doc's in the house. The doctor is in the house. And Dalton's also here. I heard a rumor that Dalton's coming to the gallery opening this weekend. Now, Serge, you got a preview of the gallery since you'll be back in Los Angeles Friday?
Yes, Friday.
So Friday we have the gallery opening. You saw the work of our featured artist, so Melanie Kerr Favilla. You saw some of her work. And you're not a flower guy.
I'm not a flower guy. I'm not a macro guy. But it's the best flower work I've ever seen. It's unbelievable.
Isn't it? And it's printed so beautifully. It looks just amazing.
It's stunning. It really is stunning.
So
I want to get into flowers now.
Yeah, it makes you want to. You see her work, and you're like,
how did she do this?
How did she do this? Because we were sitting there trying to figure out how she did.
Is it macro? Is it
focused? But you know what's cool? She's going to do an interview after her opening. So her gallery opening is this weekend at 7 p.m. So she has a solo gallery showing here in the gallery at Kelby One. At 8 p.m. is her live interview. Larry Becker will be here in the theater doing a live interview. And I want to make sure that Larry asks her, what lens did you use? What lighting? Her lighting is beautiful.
It's great.
It really is.
And you know what's funny is most flower shops always have this shallow depth of field, and this one does not. You get details everywhere. So thus, I was thinking focus stacking.
Is she doing focus stacking?
It just creates a look, and the fact that the black background is amazing. Really well done work.
Alrighty. Hey, Piotr says, hi, Piotr. Says, well, after the grid last week with Serge, I went with a knife to my portfolio website.
There were casualties.
All right. And Rose says, bonjour, Serge. I do speak a little bit of French.
Ah, bonjour, Rose.
You know, I don't like to brag, but I speak a little bit of French myself.
Oh, yeah.
Fromage.
Jambon.
Jambon avec fromage.
Avec fromage?
That's like a sentence. Jambon avec fromage, s'il vous plaît.
Oh, my God.
Boom. Boom, drop the mic. Hey, let's talk about giveaways because we got them, all right? So first, we're going to be giving away. This is a Canon 5D Mark IV, brand new. We're not giving that away. This is a ball head. We're not giving that away. No, we're giving away something better. We're giving away something that nobody has because it's so brand new. We're giving away the support, the Platypod Ultra, the thing it's sitting on. Let me show you a better
that's
picture.
That's how I got that shot, by the way. With the,
is that how you got a shot? Yeah,
that's how I got that shot. With,
oh,
is that,
oh, well, you can't see this, but he has an awesome shot on his screen. If you go to Video Control Room 1, they can see it. But it's his desktop pattern. But this is, so did you use, you didn't use the Ultra, of course, because you had this one?
Yeah, I did it with this one, yeah.
What do you say we give both away today?
I also have this one because it's sent it to me, but this
You
photo,
had this one too?
Yeah, I had this
one. You're so in the mix.
I know.
We're giving away both of these today. We're going to give away the Ultra, the Platypod Ultra. Oh, this is the big boy. This is the Ultra, right? So this is for big cameras. This is for smaller cameras, but it still holds a ridiculous amount of weight. But here's what it looks like in action. So this is the Ultra. Look how small it is. We'll zoom in on that second camera for luxurious smallness, right? And then you put a ball head on top of it, which I have an Oben ball head. And B&H actually has, you know, you can get this with the Oben like as a kit, mm-hmm. right? And then you have your camera on top of it. Hey, do you see that orange thing, by the way?
The L-plate.
Have you seen this?
Yes, you showed it to me.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The L-plate from Three Leg Things.
Right, this is from Three Leg Thing. It's brand new, it's hot because number one, it's universal. It works on almost every camera. And it's like a quarter of the price. It's what, $49?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be the U.S. price. That's ridiculously. It's not released yet, but you can go and pre-order it right now. It's very inexpensive. I think it's 49 euros, which means in American dollars, that's $4. So anyway.
So yeah, just sorry, I put it on camera. Actually, I don't know if you can see the photo, but I was in New York.
Oh, there's the photo.
Yeah, so I was in New York in that hotel with Matt Kuskowski, actually, and we're trying to take a photo, and then he pulled that out of his pocket, and then he gave it to me, and I was able to do like, you know, 1 or 2 seconds without a tripod, just putting on the glass.
And where was this? Where were you shooting?
For the New York Expo, you were there too.
Yeah, yeah. But were you on what, Rockefeller Center? Where
no,
is that
no,
taken
it's
from?
It's the Uber 40 Hotel or something. They have this big terrace. Like everybody from the New York Expo was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from Sony and stuff. I was up there and
I wasn't there.
No, but you came and left. Like
did I? Okay,
I
well, I'm like that. All right. So a couple things real quickly. Lightroom Mobile, brand new. So Adobe released Lightroom Mobile for the iPhone, for the iPad, for the Android phone, those three things. Anyway, lots of great features. I'll tell you what the big feature is, as we know, which is the brush. It has the adjustment brush now. Works great. It's awesome. Serge and I did a webcast for Kelby One members, which was a blast. We had lots of fun. So, and we were showing off all the stuff. If you want to go to either yesterday, go to my blog, scottkelby.com. Or go to lightroomkillertips.com yesterday. No. Yes, yesterday. It was Tuesday. Go yesterday, and I have a video for you with the highlights. And if I can plug my own thing here, since it's my own show, I'm going to have to. I have a brand new class just released yesterday called Lightroom Mobile from Start to Finish. I take you through all of it, not just the new features, the whole workflow. Hey, that's it right there. Notice the cool graphic? Notice the cool guy at the top? That's it right there. That's me. Meredith's pointing at my picture. That was a joke. You're not supposed to really focus on that. All right. Also, we have gifts for you today. We're going to be giving away that. We're giving away a copy of my book over here. The Photoshop CC book for digital photographers right here. We're going to give away a copy of that today to some lucky viewer. Hey, there's my grid water. We're going to give away a copy of the Platypod Max, a $50 gift certificate. So you can rent gear from, you see that gratuitous zoom? That was beautiful. Leighton, that was some of the most beautiful work I've seen you do. Anyway, Lens Pro to Go gift card. We're giving away all that. And I do want to share one thing. Well, one and a half things. First off, Serge is going to give away something awesome. Can we go to Serge's screen?
My book.
His book.
On Paris.
You have a beautiful coffee table book. I have it in my office.
Yes.
I absolutely do. He gave it to me as a gift. It is absolutely beautiful. Some of the most beautiful pictures you will see of Paris, all taken by Serge. And it's a beautiful book. And he's going to give a copy away to someone on the show later today.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Very gracious of you. No very problem. Generous of you. Very French. All right. I want to share just with you for 1 second. You guys have heard me talk about Mimo, or Madani, as we call him. He is a photographer that you've done workshops with in Venice.
Mm-hmm.
I hung out with for a couple of days in Venice. Awesome guy, awesome photographer. Taught me a lot about long exposure photography. He's the long.
Extreme long exposure.
Extreme long. We're talking 12-minute exposure. I've been doing long exposures when I think it's a minute or two. He's like, oh, a minute or two, forget that. We're going for long ones. He sent me a bunch of birthday gifts. Now, he is living right now in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent me the Canada cups, real maple syrup with French words on it. What's that say?
Yeah, maple syrup. Sirop d'érable, which means maple syrup.
Maple syrup. I figured as much because it says on the top. Let's get a real close-up of this because it's pretty exciting.
It's the real deal.
Maple syrup. You know it has to be because it shows the horse pulling barrels. All right. Maple leaf tea. It was a, and he sent me some beautiful prints. And I'm adding this to the set here. So he took a picture when I did my photo walk in Venice. He got this picture of me doing the group shot right there in St. Mark's Square. And so I'm going to add it to the grid set. We put special things on the grid. Now that we've said that, this is all unrelated to the thing that Serge was telling me. He has a workshop coming up in Venice.
Yes, he has.
All right. And I'm going to take you to his website here. Give me, oh, wow. There it is. Mayor is on the ball in there. All right. So he's got a workshop. Let me tell you what. And you did a workshop with him. Is there anybody better to go to Venice with than Mimo?
No, he owns a hotel there. He's been there for 9 years now. He knows like the city inside out. He will take you to places to Venice you will never be able to find, even with a local guide. And I mean, he speaks a dozen languages.
The price is ridiculously low. It's what, 600 euros? That is ridiculously low. So go to his website. His website is Madani, and we're going to spell it M. That's as far as we can go. M-E-I-D-A-N-Y. So it's like medani.com. Go sign up at his workshop. If you have any opportunity to go there, you will be blown away. It's awesome, awesome, awesome. So he's a great, great guy, a great teacher. And you will come away finding places in Venice that nobody knows about.
Oh, yeah.
He knows every little nook and cranny. He is awesome.
Yeah, he got me authorization to shoot from rooftop that people cannot get access to.
Yeah, I'm going to try to talk. I'm going to try him talking in to let me do a workshop with him. I want to go, look, dude, you got to let me come over there.
Yeah, it's really, it's wholly recommended. He was my guide on my workshop. I did my first Italy workshop with him. So we did 3 days in Venice, 3 days in Rome. And he was our guide. And it was just, people were so blown away by his vision of the city. You know, you just will get photos that...
And he speaks Italian fairly well.
Yeah, he speaks great Italian, speaks great English.
It helps. It really does help when you're in Italy to have someone. All right. We are going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to zoom into our topic, which today is when is too much too much? And we have an interesting take on it. So, when I say we, I mean Serge. But anyway... Stick around. We've got a lot more wild stuff, and we've got giveaways galore lower today. So make sure you come back for that in just a minute. Don't go away. We're live with Serge on the grid. I've got water. Okay, have you seen the new version of Lightroom Mobile? It is off the chain. You know what's so great about it? It looks like Lightroom on the desktop. So there's been Lightroom Mobile for a long time, but now it looks like the desktop. It's got sliders, and it's like you edit like you always edited. And it's awesome because whatever you do on your desktop goes right to your iPad, and it goes right to your iPhone or your Android phone. And you can just edit anywhere and have this Lightroom experience anywhere you go. And I know what you're thinking, but I miss the adjustment brush. No, it's here now too. What about the radial tool? And now it's all in Lightroom Mobile, and it's awesome. And I want to teach you the whole thing. Come with me. You're going to learn the whole thing from the ground up. It's so easy because you already know how to use Lightroom. We're just going to take it and apply it to the awesome new interface. I'm going to teach you all the new tools. You're going to love it. It's going to change the way you work with Lightroom. You're going to extend Lightroom's power in a way you never thought you could. And it's only here at Kelby One.
Hey folks, Christy from Shark Pixel here, and I'm thrilled to be bringing you a brand new class all on retouching wedding images. You're gonna learn things like how to remove that terrible strapless dress issue that so many brides have. We're gonna be removing specific elements from images. I'm gonna teach you how to remove hard elements from an image and easier elements from an image. And then at the end, we're gonna take care of those terrible tan lines and sunburns. So check out my new class only on KelbyOne.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Hansen, photographer and director. My transition from chef to photographer started when I was a private chef. I Googled photography training and up came Kelby One. Learned about how to use a strobe, how to run your business. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. That first step for me was Kelby One.
Hey everybody, we are back. Scott Kelby here with Serge Rameli. Hey, if you're out in the Los Angeles area, aren't you out in the Los Angeles area?
I am.
Well, What are you doing on Sunday, August 13th? Probably nothing, right?
I'm with you.
All right, Serge, come out and chat. I'm going to be at the Canon Experience in Costa Mesa, which is just outside of LA. I'm there from, I think it's 6 to 8, actually. I'm there from 6 to 8 at the Canon Experience, and I'm going to give you a web address to go to if you want to go and spend the, it's free. Here's the web address on my computer. I don't know if I shared my computer. Hold on. I didn't. I did not go to the proper control room, which means nothing will happen. All right, here we go. This is the address where you can go and sign up for free. There's limited space, but I'm going to be doing a talk called The Stuff They Don't Tell You. So it's secret stuff that they don't tell you. An updated version of that. And that's coming up. There's the address. Don't write it down. Get your phone out and take a picture of it.
Yeah.
Because it's a weird web address. And that's way better than the one that actually Canon provided. But thanks to the people from Canon for having me out there. I'm very excited. I've never been to the place. I've heard it's amazing. Like the Canon. Have you been to the Canon?
No, I have not.
Dude, it is supposed to be like phenomenal. So I'm very excited about that. And they just opened up a new one in Burbank. It's a different kind of place. But anyway.
I will be there.
Serge will be there. Serge in the flesh. All right. Got a couple of shout outs and then we're going to roll. Leon says, greetings. Liza says, hello from a very southern Illinois. Oh, Mimo. Yeah. Mimo's watching. Yes. Mimo says, thank you, guys. Mimo. Maple syrup. All right. Thank you, Mimo. All right. Let's see. Kathy Bateson, we need Serge to do a class on how he edits his black and white photos. You have stuff on your, like, YouTube page?
Yes. YouTube.com/PhotoSerge.
There you go. PhotoSerge. Raging Badger says, hello, everyone. Just spot healed a ton of dust spots, and I'm ready to enjoy some grid. Sirhan says, hello from Turkey. Lori says, hi, Sergeant Scott. And James says, good evening, guys, from a very rainy Glasgow. Oh, so beautiful up there. Ritter says, hi from the Netherlands. Sri Ranga says, bonjour from India.
Bonjour.
Are they allowed to use bonjour in India?
Oh, yeah, they are.
Okay, it's cool. Tien says, hi, Scott, I'm off to Canada, Banff. Oh, could use some tips. Yes, get up early. Banff is amazing. Stay at the Fairmont at Lake Louise, and their breakfast is amazing. George says, hi from Scotland. Dave Williams says, process the pants off it. Make it look exactly the way it looks in your mind. Hashtag kicks things off.
Yeah.
Ben says, yay to another episode of The Grid. Hi from Bridget and Ben here in Nottinghamshire. Glad to have you guys here. Oh, there's just so many comments. Kathy Perepsky, I sent Kathy a note on Facebook. Said, come by and watch live. And she's like, nah, I'm just checking in. Anyway, what should I do to be able to get a prize? Anki asks. At the end of the show, we give you a place to go sign up. We pick a random copy. And same thing, I like a copy of the book. Yuri asks. At the end of the show, we'll give you a place to go and sign up for the, and you can win. We pick a random people. You just have to tell us which prize you want to win. And Maywin says, Scott, I watched your class on Lightroom Mobile today. Love the new features, right? Rose says, Lightroom Mobile is wonderful. I'm now going to do so much more than I ever could before. Your class is fab, Scott. Thank you. Thank you very much, Rose. Okay, today. So we were talking yesterday about post-processing. And we know that this is a very controversial topic.
Yes.
We know that when it comes to post, that you have two groups of people, or maybe three. You have a group of people that don't think really any post-production should be done at all. Mm-hmm. Those are called people that don't know Photoshop or Lightroom. I've never in my entire life have met someone that I go, are you good at Photoshop? Oh, yeah. What do you think about it? I don't use it. I don't think it's right. I think it's wrong. People that don't know how to post-process feel that when you post-process, you're cheating.
Right.
Because they can't do it. It's not a level playing field for them. What I would sell to them is this. Go learn Photoshop. Go learn Lightroom. It's so easy. There's so many ways to learn. So that's one thing. Then there's people that say, well, post-processing is an important part.
Mm-hmm.
Post-processing brings back things that you lose in the capture process.
Mm-hmm.
Partially, and this is important, we lose because our sensors are not as good as our eye. Our eye can see such a wide range of color,
mm-hmm.
such a wide range of dimension and depth. This is why we take so many backlit photos. Because we're looking with our eyes and we see a building and we can see it perfectly.
Right.
We pick up our camera and it's a DSLR. We look through there. Looks the same. We take the picture. Our sensor puts the whole building in shadows. Mm. That's because our eyes are amazing and our sensors are pretty good.
Yes.
They're not quite there yet. So those are two people. And then there's three people that are like Dave Williams, post-process the heck out of it. And, you know, so, and I'm not quite to where Dave Williams is. I'm kind of, I think at one point I was there. Hmm. And as I get older, and by older, I mean just slightly, I start backing off how much post-processing I'm willing to do. But I've also,
I've
changed my mind about some things. So you were saying something about one of the most controversial people in photography today. I'm a fan of his. So,
I'm a fan too.
All right. But anytime you bring up his name, we're going to see all kinds of comments
that's
today.
For sure.
But I'm a fan.
Okay, yeah. It's Peter Link.
Peter Lick, sorry.
Yeah,
English thing.
He has a lot of galleries. So when, the first time I came to Photoshop World, September 2010 in Vegas, Mandalay Bay, he's got a gallery there. I was like, wow, that's beautiful. And he's got, you know, photos all over the reception. And so when I moved to LA, I saw his Rodeo Drive gallery. Then I went to New York. I saw his Soho Drive gallery. So, you know,
he has them in multiple places in Vegas.
Yeah, 14, I think. Yeah. And I mean, there is definite success there. Now, I love his photos. Like, they're
so
very, very saturated, very extraordinary. And I love them. And okay, here came my reflection, my thinking on this. A lot of people, when I started photography and I went into, I remember, especially when I discovered Photomatics, I had like a big crush on Trey Ratliff's photos and went totally his way. And I love Trey and his vision, but you know, they're very post-processed, you know, this sort of Photomatics looks. And the problem is that when I used to show these photos, the response, the emotional response was, great photo, you must be good at Photoshop. That was kind of the first sentence. And I sort of didn't like that because, like, yeah, I'm also a photographer, you know? And so because I went so much to Peter Lick Gallery, I was listening to the people there, and they were like, oh, what a great beach, what a great mountain, all these trees, that Milky Way. There was nobody said anything about Photoshop. Like, they didn't have this reaction. And obviously, he Photoshops his photos. I mean, at least in terms of saturation and contrast, you know, it's not RAW files that's hanging out on the wall.
Okay, now, Serge, here's where the controversy comes in. I've been to his galleries numerous times, and when you read the about thing, he actually mentions the word Photoshop. I do not use Photoshop.
I don't believe that. A second. But that's fine.
Well, now.
Well, maybe he uses Affinity.
Yeah, he's using Affinity. No. So he says, he states, and we can look it up online because it's been a few years since I read his about thing. But I remember being with another photographer in Peter Lick's gallery. Now, this was in Caesar's Palace because mm-hmm. He has two galleries in the same mall, in the Forum Shops.
Yeah.
In one mall, he has two galleries.
That's crazy.
Now, his prints sell from 5,000 on up, right? But I remember reading that he doesn't do Photoshop. And I'm there with another photographer, and this was the landscape photographer, a famous landscape photographer, shot all over the United States again and again. And he walked around and said, these pictures are beautiful. He says, you see this one right here? Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah. He goes, Scott, I've been there 25 times. I've had 25 workshops there. I've never seen colors ever. It doesn't look anything like this. So while he may not be doing Photoshop, it seems like in the darkroom, and I think he even talked about, you know, manipulating in the darkroom or something.
No, he did film, but now I spoke to some of his representatives. Now they officially said he's doing digital. Like, for a long time, he's saying he was shooting on Velvia 50
right.
or Velvia 100, which is the most vivid film out there.
That's why you shot the Fuji Velvia, was to get saturated color.
Yes, but apparently he shot. But that was not my thing, because I didn't even know about that he was saying, I'm not using Photoshop.
Right.
My thing was that people were not responding to his photos by saying they were Photoshop when they were responding to mine as being Photoshop. So I was saying, what am I doing different from him? Because I love the drama, I love the contrast, I love the colors.
So when they see a Peter Lick photo, they go, wow, beautiful sky, beautiful landscape. They see a Serge photo and they go, oh, you're really good at Photoshop.
Yeah, that was back in the day. It's not that much anymore. That was 5 years
right,
ago,
right,
4 years,
five
ago.
Years ago. Sure.
And it hit me one day. It really hit me. How can I say this? He has a way of pushing the boundary of saturation. Like, for example, he has like a sunset on the Grand Canyon that he shot, which is like perfect leading lines, perfect sunset, super saturated. And or like the trees in Oregon, the trees in Portland. He has this beautiful tree and the colors are like the greens are. But what he does, and he goes, so very heavy saturation, very heavy contrast, but to the limit of human experience. What I mean by that is, probably you get that too. I get a lot of emails every day, people sending me their photos on 500px or, you know, check out my Instagram feed. And I do at least one or two per day. And the thing that I see the most is people going with crazy skies that are not from this planet. So they, you know, so I would say the problem is not the saturation. The problem is the hue, meaning what type of color. So I'm known for adding a lot of magenta. People call me Mr. Magenta. I have a T-shirt called Mr. Magenta because I love to add magenta. And it's true, magenta is not really a color you see in the sky, for real. You know, I like to add magenta, especially to take out the green in the city lights that I don't like. That's one of the reasons I use the magenta. But what I mean by that is people go and they use this graded filter and add a whole bunch of, you know, very saturated blue or magenta or pink or things which are not actual on this planet. They probably are on the moon or some other movies. But
Mars, probably. Who knows?
Yes. But they are not within human experience. His skies are within, they are at the limit. I was at Clearwater Beach 3 days ago, one of the most stunning sunsets I ever saw.
Can we show that picture?
Oh, yeah.
It might take a minute for you to pull up. He showed me this picture the other day, and it's pretty much out of camera, and you would think that you process it to death.
People are telling me, like, oh, you overprocess this, and blah, 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 and it's not true.
It's not, because I live here, right? I live in the Tampa Bay area, and we see sunsets that are just... they're ridiculous. Like, you look at them and go, if I took a picture of this, nobody would believe it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you did. Let me go and...
Yeah, that's the raw file on retouch.
This is the raw file.
That's on retouch. There's one I did a little bit of contrast to. I'm trying to find it. Actually, you know what? I'm just going to...
Just seeing the raw file looks good.
Yeah, that's the raw file. I mean, maybe you can show the raw file, and I'm just going to apply a bit of retouching to it. So am I on the...
Oh, yeah, you're going to have to go to video control room one when you get a sec.
Oh, one. Okay. One. So that's the RAW file unretouched. Nothing has been done to that RAW file.
Yeah, that is straight out of the camera. Now, we know that when you shoot in RAW, that your camera turns off the contrast. It turns off all the things that make it look good. So that's a flat version. That's not even what it looked like in real life.
Yeah.
That is actually a flatter version than what it looks like.
So let me reset it, and I'm going to use a preset that I created as part of the Kelby preset.
Is this for your class?
For my class,
yeah. Serge is here taping some classes. Well, you already taped them all, didn't you?
Yeah.
Look at you. So, like a boss.
Well, that's a little too much on this one. So I'm going to bring down the saturation. I'm going to go at zero, not at minus saturation.
Yeah, zero.
Okay.
Can you hit the letter F?
Okay, so there's no saturation, but that's... that's how it was. It was literally, it was like this for about 90 seconds.
Did we lose video control room one?
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to have to, yeah.
Okay, no problem.
We'll reconnect, no problem.
So there is, that's just a little bit of contrast.
Let's see if it shows up.
Is it up now?
That's weird.
Okay.
Well, just imagine.
Imagine.
Close your eyes and imagine an orange sky. Yeah, go to control room 2. I'll bounce off.
Okay. Yeah, just for a sec.
I'm going to bounce off. There we go. Hit the letter F.
Okay. So this is not retouch. I just added a bit of contrast for the sake of it. But that's how it looked to me for 90 seconds. It was just, I this type of sunset in my life, I've witnessed 4. Like, you know, literally. But you get that all the time here in Florida.
We do. We get that very, like if we that happens, and it does happen on a regular basis, my wife will force me to stop the car. She will jump out and take, she is a sky freak. She loves clouds. She loves great skies.
Yeah.
Literally, we will stop, or we'll drive out to the beach. We've driven out to the beach just for her to take sunset pictures. And
yeah. So what I mean by that is that, you know, you have some crazy colors in, Mother Earth gives us, you know, here and there. It's true, in Paris it doesn't happen often. I don't think I ever saw something like this in Paris. And also, you know, with the water that makes like a mirror of, so it just sort of doubles the whole experience. And it's very quick. But people have a tendency to, you know, to have colors which are not real. Not because they're too saturated, which is the big thing I hear all the time. But because it's the wrong magenta or the wrong red, and it's hard to nail it. You know, it's kind of hard.
Right.
You know?
So it's not that they're using too much color. It's they're using, what you're saying is, colors that are not realistic to what we see in everyday life.
Exactly. Example, if you use one of these crazy Instagram filters, which I call the contrast, you know, a lot of contrast and desaturated. So half desaturation and contrast.
Right.
Very common on Instagram. There is no human eye that can see that.
Right.
So yes, the reaction is, oh, you've used a filter, like as the first thing.
Right.
I get that, you know, and that's what I was getting a lot on my photos. So now as I grow older as a photographer, I'm trying to come back over and over to the same place. I'm trying to get it right into the camera just because I can, because I've been doing it for 13 years and it's a luxury that I can. I don't have a problem with coming back to Clearwater Beach 10 times until I get that crazy sunset, you
right.
know? And so, yes, like you, I think as I grow older, I try to go away from the looks, you know, and more into, but just because I did the looks a lot, you know, the looks are easy. You know, you learn photography and like the first time you use Photomatics, you're like, I know people's reaction when they use Photomatics or Aurora HDR,
yep.
which is even better, you know, for the first time. And you're like, oh, this is so powerful, you know, and then you go on a fade. But, you know, for me, these are fade. You know, I had my big, you know.
Yeah, that phase. Can I tell you though, Serge, when I go to a... When I do a workshop, so if I'm doing a landscape workshop, right, and at the very beginning of the week, we'll ask, okay, who wants to learn, what do you want to learn? Well, the number one thing for many years was HDR.
Right.
So we would show them a crazy picture and go, is this what you want to learn? Right. And Matt did this as well. Matt did this in one of his classes. That's where I got the idea. He said, is this what you want to learn? You show a crazy over-the-top HDR. Everybody's like, oh, no, that's awful. That's awful. Then you say, or do you want to make it look realistic like this? Yes, that's what we want to do. Mm. Can I tell you something? At the end of the week, we had a photo competition. Every single person turned in a crazy over-the-top HDR.
That's funny.
Because you know what happens with HDR and with all of this stuff, with over-processing and all? You become numb to it.
Yeah.
Right? It's like hot sauce. You take a little bit of hot sauce, and the first time you take it, like, wow, it's really hot.
Mm.
Then you need a hotter sauce, and then you need a hotter sauce. It's like HDR is the gateway drug for over-processing. And so what happens is, at first, it's like no big deal. You're like, oh, okay, a little bit. You do it for a while, you do it for a week, and you look at it, and it doesn't look over-processed.
Yeah.
What looked over-processed to you 5 days ago now is like, I think I need to turn it up a little bit more. So I think that's kind of, you know, what happens to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Hey, I do want to mention another thing. So Serge was mentioning people stand in Peter Licht's gallery, and they look at the images, and they don't say, look at the Photoshop.
Right.
One reason is because that he's pushed the saturation, but in a smart way.
Yeah.
He's pushed the saturation to where it looks like something you see here on Earth. It doesn't look like something unrealistic or weird. It looks like he's gone all the way to the edge.
Yeah.
Where so many people pass it. But I said something to Serge that I thought also.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's another reason why they're not standing in front of Peter Licht's photos and saying that's processed. Here's why. When you share a photo on your laptop, when you share a photo on your phone or on a tablet, it's a digital image. It's almost assumed that you use Photoshop. You're looking at pixels.
Hmm.
When someone makes a big, beautiful print, now it's about, oh my gosh, that's such a gorgeous place. And I tell you what, nothing that a photographer can do has the impact of size.
Yes.
And I don't think people realize that.
Oh,
there's a reason why, like when they made Serge's beautiful book on Paris, it's big. It's a big, very large size book. I think it's 13 inches tall by like 10 inches or something like that. It's quite a large book. That's because we want our pictures shown as big as possible.
Mm.
When we have Melanie's artwork in the gallery, they're big prints. I think the smallest one is 30 by 30. And so I think that that when you walk, you know, you walk in and you see something large, like you do in Peter Licht's gallery, you're thinking about, oh my gosh, look at that tree. Oh my, that must have been amazing to be at that scene. And you're when it's in print, it's different.
Yes.
It's judged by a different. So you have a guy that's very, very smart about pushing the saturation,
mm-hmm.
and then he makes a print. And I think it takes the Photoshop out of it.
Yeah.
And I think if you start making prints, which I think is so important, when you start making prints, it separates you from this. It separates you from the computer, separates you from the phone, and it separates you from the software.
Yes.
And now you're looking at a print. I think that's another part of why.
That's true. That's another part. And also, I mean, I've had so many photos where, like, I didn't like them so much small, but big, I love them.
Yes.
There's something about, you know, big prints that's so powerful.
Yeah, like if I showed you Melanie's prints here, they're awesome. But when we saw them in the judging room with all the other photographers, we saw them on, like, a 60-inch screen, very, very large.
Yeah.
They have an incredible impact. And when you see them, of course, in the gallery, 30 inches by 30 inches for the smallest one, they're stunning. I want to get some comments here. And Carl's correct here. So Carl says, before Photoshop and Lightroom, the post-production was done in the dark room.
Yes.
And it was. I mean, they dodged. Yeah. Dodging and burning came from the dark room. That's where those terms even came from. Hmm. Lori says, I try to make the images look natural. It grates my last nerve to see overprocessed images with so many likes and positive comments. Okay, Lori, so this is interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad that you said this. Because here's what happens, Lori. While other photographers will look down on post-processing, the public does not. Mm. If you show the public a photo, this is the honest to goodness truth, I've done it a dozen times. If you show the same photo twice, one HDR and overprocessed, and one regular to the public, they will always choose the HDR.
Yes.
Every single time. They will choose the HDR 99 out of 100 times. Mm. It is very rare to find a non-photographer that doesn't choose the HDR. It's also very rare. I mean, think about this. Peter Lick, he's got very beautiful pictures. But what Peter Lick is giving the public is exactly what they want. It's a beautiful place, right? It's a beautiful a scene, but saturated to the point that the public goes, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And that's really, that's a very big thing. It's so big that we're going to have to talk about it after the break. Don't go away because I see the break. It's like on the screen. You can't ignore it. You can't deny it. It says break with dashes on both sides. So you have to go with. All right, we're going to take a short break. We come back. We're still on your questions. And I want to dig a little deeper into this Peter Lick thing and why people like it in person. Don't go away. We're live right here on The Grid.
Howdy, folks. Moose Peterson here. Kelby won with a class I think is just great for you. You could be saying, well, it's about buying camera gear. Kind of is. You could say it's about packing camera gear. Kind of is. You could be saying it's gear for specific tasks, specific storytelling that you need to know about. Because it kind of is. It's all those things and more. I'm gonna talk about wildlife photography, I'm gonna talk about landscape, I'm gonna talk about aviation, I'm gonna talk about the gear I use, how I pack it, how I get it on site, and then how I use it for specific photographs once I get there. So I've got it all here in one class just for you. So come and check it out only at kelbyone.com.
Have you ever had your heartbroken. I mean, literally like crushed where you're like, you don't know what to do and you're just like miserable. And it's just like, I had that happen to me just recently. When Google announced they were killing the Nik collection. Come on, the Nik collection of plugins has been a secret weapon for photographers for 10 years. We knew that Google was going to come out and go, look, we're not supporting it anymore. And then one day Photoshop gets updated or Mac OS or Windows and it breaks your plugin. I'm there, I'm hearing from people all over the world. Basically, the Nik collection is dead. What are we gonna do? I've switched my workflow over to MacFun's Luminar. 4 million people have already downloaded it, so I was like, I gotta try this. Number one, some of the guys from Nik went and started MacFun. Number two is I open it up, I'm like, here's all the stuff I missed from Color Effects. It's the same kind of stuff. It's awesome. And it does stuff that Nik Color Effects didn't even do. And it's like, absolutely perfect for Lightroom users. It's just like, it's got all this effects, it's got all this cool stuff. You're gonna love it. I'm gonna teach you how to use it. So come with me as we make the transition from the brokenheartedness of our Nik days to the happy joy of the Luminar days. So come with me. I'm gonna take you from start to finish. We're gonna go through the whole thing. You're gonna love it. My brand new course, it's on Luminar and how to pull your life back together. And it's exclusively here at Kelby One. Hi, everybody. We're back. Scott Kelby here with Paris-based photographer Serge Remily.
Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs.
Hey, this has nothing to do with anything, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. You make movies, too.
Yes.
Like, you're seriously a movie maker.
Yes.
You've made movies in France?
No, in Hollywood.
No, now you've done one in Hollywood, right?
Oh, yeah. I produced a movie in France, but I did a movie in Hollywood where I played the lead part. So that was kind of
more. And it's called The Hollywoodens?
It's called The Hollywoodens on iTunes only.
Oh, so you can go watch it on iTunes?
Yes.
Is it good?
We got great reviews. We're honestly better than I expected.
Really?
Yes.
And you're in it.
And I'm the lead actor.
He's the lead actor.
The lead actor. It's crazy.
You can just have a Serge love fest.
Yes.
So go on iTunes and watch The Hollywoodens. Because I know someone's going to go, what was the name of that movie?
The
Hollywoodens. All right. So we have a lot of comments. I'm going to go to this one right here from Marcus. Marcus says, Scott, a few years ago, there was even a preset in Photoshop named Scott. which was a crazy HDR. At the time, I loved it, and now I guess it's too much. So, Marcus, so I did. I created that preset, and I sent it to the Photoshop team, because here's what it was. And this is a weird story. I'm going to tell you anyway. But so Matt Kluskowski was teaching a class at Photoshop World. Mm. And Matt and I used to joke here on the grid when the grid set was over there. We used to joke about how bad the presets were in the HDR program.
Right.
And so anyway, Matt was making a joke in front of a class of like 700 people about how bad the presets were. And a woman comes up and she says, "Mr. Kluskowski, I enjoyed your class, except for I feel really bad." And he's like, "What?" And she goes, "I'm the person that made those presets."
Oh.
And Matt's like, "Wow, I'm sorry." And she goes, "I heard what you said about him." He's like, "Yeah, they're really bad. Why are they so bad?" And then he asks, "Are you a photographer?" She's like, "No." Well, that may be why. Anyway, so I at the time, everybody was crazy about Photomatics. So I wanted to create a preset that would look close to the standard default, you know, or the one that everybody used in Photomatics. So I sat there and I opened photo after photo. I would process it in, I remember doing this. I was on a cruise ship, and you know how that day you have at sea and there's nothing to do?
Yeah.
I was on that day at sea, and I just sat there and I did my this HDR photo in Photomatics, and I was going to move every slider in Adobe's HDR until I finally got there. And I finally got pretty close, and I sent it to Adobe because I have friends there on the team and all. And I said, "Hey, what do you think?" And they're like, "Hey, this is great. Can we include it in the product?" So the problem is they did. They included, I think it's called SK4 because it was the fourth preset I actually saved, or SK6 or whatever it is. But it's like, it's still in Photoshop to this day, and it's in the HDR thing. Now, here's how I was teaching how to use it. So after it came out, unfortunately, then they added a very important feature called smoothing. Mm. Because all of the HDR was too crunchy. Mm. So they added a little checkbox. I think it's called either smoothing or smoothness. Mm. And if I could have Adobe go back and fix it, just turn on that checkbox.
Yeah.
But here's what I did. And I'm telling you guys, if you want to try this, if you do this, it's 1,000 times better. Go ahead and open a regular image. Make a new layer and make an HDR. All right, so you basically have to drag it onto a new document. So you have the original. No, I'm sorry. Do this backwards. It's been a while. Make the HDR.
Mm-hmm.
Go open the original document and drag it on top. So if you hold the shift key when you drag from one document to the other, it will line up perfectly in the exact right place.
Mm.
So picture Photoshop. Bottom layer is HDR death with the smoothness button turned on. Top layer is regular photo. Go to the regular photo and go to the opacity of that layer and lower it until it looks good.
Yeah.
You will wind up with an awesome looking picture. But of course, they don't tell you all that. It's not like there's no directions inside of the HDR. But anyway, if you apply it by itself, you will black out. It's way over the top. So you have to apply it, put the original on top, lower the opacity to at least 50%, and then you will find it. Okay, so back to Peter Lick.
Yeah.
So you have to realize that often, like my surgeon, myself, our audience are photographers.
Right.
The people that we share our work with are photographers. And so it is a very different audience than the public.
Can I tell a little story on that?
Please do.
When I started my first gig where I made money in 2008, this guy opened a hotel called The Hidden Hotel by the Champs-Élysées. The theme of the hotel was organic wood. So it was all made out of wood, a four-star, a beautiful hotel. And the owner said, "I'm going to make a photo challenge. I'm going to get 5 photographers to shoot the hotel. And the one who makes, so the same room, the one who gets, you know, the best photo wins." So he hired, like, people who've been doing photos for like 25 years, you know, on film. At the time, they all shot film. I was the only one shooting digital. And I processed it with Photomatics. So they had 4 photos from film, like classic, that, you know, beautiful lighting. And I came in with my Photomatics. I won, like, way and the price was $5,000 for shooting the entire hotel.
Wow.
And that's how I got my first job, and that is the only time I ever used Photomatics on an HDR on an interior design photo, the first time and the only time, because after a while. But again, you know, Scott is very right. You show 10 photos with one HDR to a known photographer, they will pick the HDR. You show the same 10 photos to photographers, they won't take that HDR.
Yeah, they'll go, "Oh, that's HDR." Like,
and I understand why, because it's it's a one-trick pony. It's like this one click. It's like, yeah,
it's,
you know,
cheating.
It's cheating. Yeah,
right.
I want to go there. You know, I went to Big Sur 20 times until I got the right sunset, and I got, you know, get that.
And
you know?
You pressed a button, and you got the same thing.
Yeah.
But I will say this. So Serge, you post-process a lot. We both post-process a lot. But I would say this. Serge understands what the public wants, which is why your work is selling in 27 galleries? How many galleries?
86.
No, 86 galleries?
86.
86 galleries around the world. I remember walking through the streets of Paris with Serge and looking inside, like even at gift shops, big prints, not postcards, big prints, Serge Ramilly. So his stuff is selling everywhere, and people buy his fine art prints and travel prints and stuff. Do you know how many people shoot in Paris?
Yeah, a lot.
Everybody. But your stuff is selling because you understand what the public wants. Number one, you have great composition.
Hmm.
You do. You have really great. Your composition is spot on. Number two, you understand the importance of light. You do all the things right as a photographer. But then you're doing what Peter Licht does, in that you are pushing the boundaries, but you don't go too far. Mm. You go to where people will love this, and you know if you go any further, they will stop loving it.
And some of my photos are very heavily processed. Example, this one, if you can see it on my Mac, I changed the sky, it's desaturated, it's not reality.
Yeah, it looks like a bypass, bleach bypass on the sky.
Yeah, exactly. You know, which heavy contrast and low saturation. That's the bleach bypass look. I love that photo.
Is that the top of the
Notre Dame?
Notre Dame. Didn't you and I go up there?
Yes, sir? We did.
Did I almost die on the way up?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. It's a lot of steps. 435 steps?
Something like that.
Huge mistake. All right. Anyway.
Anyways, what I mean is, like, some of my photos, you know, sometimes it's a 5-second process. Like this one, the Clearwater one, I don't have the final version. The Clearwater one.
Oh, that's a good shot of it.
Yeah. And, so what I mean is, for me, what matters is what people get from it. Like, I just submitted 10 new photos to my gallery, and half of them were very processed. The other half were not that much processed. It really depends. Honestly, if I've got a great light, you know, if I go to a place where I'm only there for 2 days and the light is not so good, and I do a sky replacement because I cannot go back, and I sell it to the gallery, he doesn't care. He's got, like, very, in his gallery, there's some, like, you know, double exposure stuff, and, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's like, do people enjoy the photo or not? That's really what I like. You know, whether it's heavy process or not, that's
right.
My criteria. And some overprocessed photo, I have people that really don't like it, you know. And I use Instagram, actually, as an 500px as kind of like a measuring thing. So sometimes I post a photo that's like very processed on 500px and it doesn't do well, or it does well. You know, and sometimes it's a photo that has not been processed at all and does very well or doesn't do well. It doesn't, you know, there's no rule there. What matters is, you know, did I nail it? Are people getting a message? Or is people getting an emotion out of my photo? That really is what matters.
Yeah, that really is. I can't find it, a picture that you took of my wife and I on top of the, you know, after I had regained my consciousness. let's go for some comments. John Mayfield has a great one. He says, sometimes the H in HDR stands for horrifying. Hey, you know what I would say there, John? I agree with you, and that's actually pretty funny. But John, you know what I would say? That we've definitely evolved in the HDR thing. Like, when people still have the same opinion of HDR that they did, like back when you said you used to HDR the heck out of it. Even Trey, look at Trey's stuff today.
Oh, yeah.
He still uses, well, I think he uses Aurora HDR.
He uses Aurora.
But
which
he's,
is way better, by the way.
Yeah. He's backed off way from what he used to do.
Yeah.
And you know what? I've noticed that myself. I'm going back and redoing photos. In fact, I have a folder of photos that I went back and had redone. And it's just because as time goes by, your tastes change.
Yeah,
and
totally.
And when you used to turn the amp up to 10, now you get to the 8, and then you go a year later, you're at 7, mm-hmm. and you just keep turning it down until you're too old to rock and roll. But I think you do turn it down as you get to a certain point, as
sure.
you grow. Thank you. So let's see. Johan says, and we always, by the way, Johan has a free pass. We always read Johan's comments.
Okay, cool.
Because Johan is awesome. Johan says, after a photo critique from Scott and RC, I learned to take the processing back from 10 to 4 or 5. So that should work. Avoid over processing, I hope.
Hmm.
Yeah. And that's a really good thing, because we get numb to it. It's like the hot sauce thing. You pour some on and you're loving it, and other people see it and they're like, whoa.
Oh, can I give a little trick? Something that works really well for me on this is when I process a photo, let's say it's a color photo, because the eyes adapt so much, before I say it's done and send it to the world, I look at, so if it's a color, I look a lot of black and white photos, I go do other things, and then I come back to it. And then,
you're right.
Then I see if it's overprocessed or not. I cannot absolutely say if it's overprocessed right when I'm done. I have to look at black, so if it's a black and white photo, a color photo, if it's a color photo, black and white, I have to do the reverse or look at totally different things, you know, just take a walk with my dog, whatever.
And I've heard people say this again and again, that you have to walk away from it.
Yes.
And then come back and you see it with a fresh set of eyes, because your eyes do get used to the color.
Yeah.
And it starts to not look as colorful as it is.
Yeah.
So you look at either a round of black and white images or you walk away from the computer altogether.
Exactly.
This is why I love you. Loopy Bridget says, so as a photographer, more poser, do we cater to the HDR overprocessed fans or stay true to what we want? Well, Loopy, I would say always stay true to what you want unless you want to make a living. I mean, here's the thing, Loopy. Like, I would think, like, I was a musician for many, many years, right? And I always played in bands with guys where one of them was a jazz freak. One of them really, really wanted to play jazz, but they're playing rock and roll and disco in a lounge. You know why? Because that's where the money was. Mm. You get to play jazz at home. You get to play jazz every once in a while in a club with some friends one night, but no one's going to pay you for it. It has to be free jam night, you know? Jazz is very, very, a very, very niche thing, and it made them happy. So they did it because they love jazz. But when they went to go make a paycheck, they had to go play Madonna. And that's honestly where you're at. So if you want to, like, Serge makes a ridiculous amount of money from 87 galleries, and you sell your work and you license your work and all this different stuff, and National Geographic freaking gets your work. And it's so Serge has realized you can do whatever you want and you can produce things, you know, and everything. But you also are very aware, I know what the public wants. I know what they want. I know what works in the gallery. I know what's going to make my living and feed my family. But Serge, when he's alone, can just take it right out of the camera and go, done. So that's kind of where it at. Where is that? Joe Valencia says, I was told to process until you like it and then back off 10%. Yes. I always say, I'm not going to take credit for being the person that told you that. But I say that with sharpening. Sharpen it till you're like, and then back it off a little bit. Yeah. Same thing with processing. Turn it up until it looks really, really good, and then go back. Donna says, and I love this, Donna. Thank you. She says, I learned so much from listening to you talk. Thank you, Donna. That was very kind. Fair Oaks Dave says, what about luminosity masking in Photoshop? It seems to be a favored technique versus HDR to get more realistic tones. What say you, Serge Remily?
So that's funny. I've tried it many times, and I cannot get my head around it. I cannot. And I see there's this guy, which I love. What's his name? British guy who does amazing luminosity masking.
Bob?
No.
Simon?
It's going to come back to me.
I'm naming every British name I know.
No. Anyways.
Peter?
No. What I mean is, I don't know. I have like four different software that creates luminosity masks.
Right. Have you downloaded actions that do luminosity masks?
I don't use it. I find it not convenient.
It does take a lot more time. It takes a lot more time. But I know that luminosity masking has really caught on. But I don't know. You know, there's so much you can do in Lightroom today that I don't know if you really need. I don't know if I don't want to poo-poo luminosity masking because so many people love it.
Yeah, I don't use it.
But I just think it's a hard way to get to a particular place.
Yes.
All right. Now. And I would dare say, I don't know who this person he's talking about, so I'm not saying anything bad, but the person doing the luminosity masking, I'm going to bet, I don't even know who it is, so I'm not trashing anybody, but I bet their work is not in 87 galleries around the world, just saying. Okay, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Okay. Now, Doug says you know what, Doug? Before we get to your question, we are going to get to your question. Let's take a short break. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to take some questions. We have a couple more, including the quote of the day from Svetlana. Hey, I have Svetlana's thing here. So look, I got, there's Mimo's picture. Mimo's picture is now on the set back there. Can you see it back there? And then right next to it is a Svetlana come to one of my seminars, and she gave me a mug or a car that says like a boss on it. Not like I ever said that. But anyway, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, giveaways, your comments, surgery.
Crazy.
Crazy, c'est fou. That's the French word, by the way.
I know.
You know what it means?
Yeah, crazy.
Are you sure?
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Great cap.
I'm Amanda Powell, and I'm a wedding photographer out of Sarasota, Florida. One thing that captured my attention when I first discovered Kelby One's website was the array of professionals that they used to teach the photography. Each individual class was extremely organized. It was from start to finish. I feel comfortable with the photographers that they support. For me, it's a relationship. You establish them and they last a lifetime.
When you need a tripod that is compact, that is portable enough to take with you anywhere, one that is adaptable to any situation, that will prove versatile enough for any shoot, and is compatible with your other gear, giving you freedom to create your own perspective. Look no further. Platypod Ultra does it all. Platypod Ultra, now on Kickstarter.
We are back with my friend, Monsieur Beautiful Serge.
Bonsoir, bonjour.
Bonsoir. Hey, it is bonsoir time, isn't it?
Yes, bonsoir.
All right. We got to wrap this show up. I'm going to read some comments real quick, and we're going to blast out of here. Well, we're going to give you where to enter the contest, too. Kevin Newsom says, Scott's so correct. When I started editing my photos with more processing, thanks for the tip, Serge, people started looking at my work. It's true. Hmm. Svetlana has the quote of the day. HDR is a gateway drug for overprocessing. Tom says, was your Wet Rocks pavement look ever made into a preset? Doesn't need to be. It's 100% clarity, 100% contrast. Boom, you're done. Then you can save it as your own preset. Hmm. You can go, I just made my own custom preset. 100% clarity with the adjustment brush. Go to the adjustment brush, 100% clarity, 100% contrast, paint over the bricks. Boom, done. Doug says that before-after comparison can help dial back over-processing. I found that in processing noisy audio. Compare where you started to your endpoint. Did you actually make it better? Good point. Same in Photoshop and Lightroom. Then I dial it back in the processing. Well, that's very, very good insight there, Doug. Thank you. Cheeky Nando says, on top of great photography, Serge must be a great business person too. Well, of course. It wasn't like Serge is asleep and there's a knock on the door. Hi, we're 87 galleries. Can we please just give us your prints and we'll make up a price. Don't worry about it. No, Serge is I've known Serge a while now. He's a very, very smart businessman. I mean, if you get to produce movies in France, if you get to be a part of movies in Hollywood, and you're a producer of movies, that's a hard, hard... Getting people to give you millions of dollars is not easy, is it?
No, it's not.
No. All righty. Let's see. Luis says, I grew up in Clearwater, Florida. Was that picture you showed Pier 60? Yes, it is, just in case you don't know.
I don't know.
That's Pier 60 or 61. Could be either one. No, it's Pier 60. Mike Cabasi, Hollywood.
Hey!
Hollywood Cabasi says, and he's talking about the size of prints, go big or go home. All right. Good to see you, Mike. And let's see. Bruno Miguel Santos has a very good quote here. And he's doing this with a wink. If you post-process in film, you're an artist. If you do it in Photoshop, you're a post-processor.
Ooh, nope. That's a good one.
It is a good one. But he's not being mean to us. He's okay. Matthias says, woo, I just tuned in to see two of my three favorite photographers in Dahowski. The only person missing in Dahowski is Matt Kloskowski. So, hey, Matthias, he is on the show from time to time. Matt comes on as a guest, and I think you're seeing Matt tonight, aren't
you? Yes, I am.
All right, and in fact, it was Matt that introduced me to Serge in the first place.
Exactly.
So, very cool. Donna Says I. Oh, and we already read Donna's. Loopy says I get so inspired participating in the grid and hearing all the great ideas and information. Thank you, Loopy.
Thank you.
Rubino Wen says please tell Scott and Calibra hi for me. Have a great week. Thank you, Robin. That's very sweet. Mark Rodriguez has a great comment. He's gonna be the last comment we read today. I look at my images repeatedly for days before I ever post them. In fact, my wife will walk into my studio and be like, good God, do you really love your work so much that you have to keep looking at it every day? but that is how you find the little faults or things that I might have missed on the first pass. Mark, as good as you are, I cannot imagine. Have you ever seen Mark's work?
No.
He's somebody you need to look up after the show. Mark is an unbelievable artist. He's won many guru awards. I'm sure he's won best of shows. He's like ridiculously, ridiculously good.
I'll check it out.
He's a tad creepy. His stuff's a tad, it's dark. Would you call it dark? It's dark and creepy. Don't ever look at Mark's stuff late at night with the lights off. That's all I'm saying. Incredible artist, scary as hell, Mark Rodriguez. Go look him up. Go put up Mark Rodriguez and you'll find him. Photoshop, his Photoshop stuff is just amazing. Hey, I do want to mention before we do the giveaways. So if you're a Kelby One member, and I hope that you are, make sure that you stop by the community. Every time we do a brand new class, we have a discuss this class.
Mm-hmm.
So the instructors are in there. I'm in there. So my class came out this week. So my class just came out, Lightroom Mobile, start to finish. Last week's class was from, it was the retouching from
Christy Shirk.
I went blank on Christy's name. Christy Shirk's retouching essentials for wedding photographers. Christy Shirk's was last week. Christy's in there. I saw Christy in there already answering questions. The instructors are in there. But besides that, there's a whole community. If you need help with anything, if you have questions, if you need opinions, whatever, there's a great group of people that are standing by to help you out. So go, as a Kelby One member, go to your member dashboard, click on community, and click on discuss, and you will see all the topics everybody's talking about today. It is a wonderful community full of wonderful people. Like Cheeky Nando is in there very, very much. Doc's in there. Alexandra's in there. There's some really, really great people in there. So and they're wonderful at helping. They're very welcoming and friendly. So go check them out. All right. So here's where you go for the giveaways. Go to kelby1.com/contest. And that's where the forum is right there. In the comments section, you need to tell us what you want to win. You can say little platypod or big platypod. So we'll know that you mean the ultra if you're asking for the little one, or the pro if you want the big one. We're also giving away the Lens Pro to Go $50 gift card. It's only for people in the U.S. So that's the only place they ship. So there's that. If you want to win the Photoshop CC book, say Photoshop book. If you want to win the Paris book, which is what everyone wants to win. Everybody's like, no one's asking about anything else. Like, how can we get the Paris book? If you want to win that one, then you would go to, you would write Paris book. And is there anything else we're giving? Platypod book, and that. Boom, that's it. If you want to learn more about this cool L bracket right here, the orange one, go to threeleggedthing.com. It's a UK-based company, and I'm not really affiliated with them, but they're just awesome people. They make awesome products. I love their tripods, and now they've made an affordable L bracket because no one's ever made really an affordable L bracket.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And it's orange. It also comes in like a dark color as well. Instead, if you don't want to go, there it is. It's the quick. Oh, look at that. $39. I was wrong. $39.99. Come on.
That's crazy. The last one I bought was over $150.
I don't know if I maybe went over the top on that. Did I? Is that too much? Is it too much? All right. Hey,
great deal.
Look at this. Rich Dyson says the community has been great today, giving me some great info on a problem that was troubling me for a while. So thank you for sharing that, Rich. Awesome. Hey, I just want to mention next week, I'm in Richmond, Virginia, and I'm going to be in Nashville as well with my Lightroom seminar. So it's my Lightroom on tour. It's a full day of Lightroom training. And, you know, I'm in Richmond. Richmond's not a big city, right? You know, I don't know how well you know the geography. But I'm going to have over 300 photographers in Richmond next week.
No way.
Yeah. Good. That's a great turnout. Nashville is the same week. Then I'm going to Los Angeles, the international home of Serge. then I'm going to be in San Francisco in August. So LA, San Francisco, and Seattle. Go to kelby1live.com and come on out. It's if you sign up now, it's probably $89 unless you're in Nashville or Richmond because you waited too late. Now it's $99. But it's still super inexpensive. You get all kinds of fun stuff and all
I've done it. It's amazing.
You're very kind. Now, Monsieur Serge, where can people go learn more about you?
YouTube.com/photosearch.
YouTube.com/photosearch. Where can they follow you on social media?
At Photosearch everywhere. Instagram, Facebook, at Photosearch.
At Photosearch. And your Instagram account is very nice.
Thank you.
Go check them out on Instagram.
Yeah, and I, by the way, I did a class called How to Boost Your Instagram Account about a year ago from Mr. Scott Kelby. And I went from 5,000 to almost 40,000 today.
Dude, there we go.
Do the class. If you're not a Kelby One member, you're missing out something.
Thank you very much. You're very kind. And Ann Robbins, I will see you in Nashville. Carl says there's no grid next week. No, there is a grid next week.
Ooh.
Moose is our guest, and he'll be on with Eric Kuna. So, hey, I got to tell you something about Eric. This is something you guys may not know. So you know that Eric is very big on Amazon, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that he will be saying the word Amazon many times. So, but we have a new nickname for him. Because Eric has more topics than that, but you can get all of the topics that Eric talks about in one, like it's a, what do you call it? It's not an anagram. It is an
abbreviation.
Abbreviation? No. What's it called? Acronym. Thank you. Thanks. The studio audience is helping out here. Acronym. And the acronym is DCATS. D-C-A-T-S. DCATS. Because here's what he talks about. His topics are Disney Cruise, Amazon, Tesla, and SpaceX. Those are his topics. If you want to talk about any one of those things, Eric will talk as long as you want. DCATS. So we just call them like DCATS in the house. So next week, DCATS and Moose. They both have cool names, right?
That's right.
DCATS and Moose, both chilling. So I will be out of town, but be a great show. Moose will be on. I saw the topic too. I wish I could remember what it was, but I remember Moose came up with a really good topic. I'm like, ooh, that's going to be good. I wish I was going to be there. But Eric will be here for the drinking game, Amazon. And also, Serge is now the second person to actually get an official grid cup. Guests now get, and you don't even have to get the one you drank out of. We have a new fresh one for you in a box.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you guys for watching. Thanks to our crew here. Thanks to Meredith in the booth. Layton filling in for Juan. Juan is up in Rhode Island taping a class for us on newborn photography with Miss Sweeney. Right? All right. So Tracy Sweeney, who you guys know from the grid here, an amazing photographer, kids photographer, family photographer, and newborns. And so Juan is up there photographing newborns. You know that there was a time, and I'm serious, that Juan himself was a newborn. It's a true story. Thank you guys for watching. We'll catch you next. Well, I won't catch you in a couple of weeks, but come back next week for Moose. All right, let's push our chairs back. Ready?